Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, or David's Vacation Club Rental. You can contact any of our fine sponsors at our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast, show number 125. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Den. Hey, Den, pull up a stool.
Come on in, Doug. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'll buy today, being there's only two of us.
All right. Yeah, it'll be a cheap tab today.
Yeah, I'm not too thirsty. One mimosa ought to do it for me. I'm not in the mood for Bloody Marys today.
Okay.
So, how's your week going, Den?
Yeah, pretty good. Getting ready for the holidays here and doing the annual raking and cleaning up of the yard, getting ready for a long, cold winter, I'm afraid.
I mean, I just lay all summer in bed looking out the window so anxious, waiting for the leaves to fall, man. I mean, it's such a great time of the year to be out there 4 or 5 hours, 3 or 4 weekends in a row just doing leaves. Isn't it fun,
Ben?
Oh,
yeah, it's wonderful. And I remember you aggravated earlier in the summer when we were only in the summer like a week and everybody was talking about fall already. And you're like, oh, summer just got going.
I know. It's like I hate this. I don't mind the time of year, family. I love Thanksgiving and the whole nine yards, but the leaves, I did them twice already. I was out there probably 8, 10. I have a tractor.
Yeah.
And I got to go out for another five, 6 hours to finish them off. It's like all the trees on my property, I don't know about yours, every one of them dropped their leaves at a different time.
Oh, yeah, the different species of trees. Yeah, that's a pain in the neck. And I don't know about you, but you always got the one neighbor that doesn't do anything and lets them blow all around the neighborhood. And that's always fun, too.
Well, my neighbor's awesome. I'll give them that on both. But my one customer, her neighbor's like that. And what I do is, because she don't have any leaves on her yard, she has a chain link fence. I unhook the chain link fence free of charge. And I take my blower over there and I blow all the leaves off her yard right in his backyard. And I don't care because he does nothing about it. He don't care. So I blow every pile of leaf right into his yard. And he sees me do it, and there ain't nothing he can do about it.
Right.
But it's just like, you know, because this is a single woman. She lives alone. It's like she takes her yard's immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
And the area in the backyard to get the leaves out of it's a pain in the butt to get it out.
Right.
So it's like I just get the leaf blower and blow them right back in his yard. You know,
you always have one in the neighborhood. Never fails.
Yeah, well, he don't do anything. It's the neighbor behind her. It's not her side neighbor. All her other neighbors are good. It's just a tree limb come down, lands on his fence in her garage. He wouldn't even comment on it. It's just like it never happened.
Right.
He's one of these people, if he don't see it, it never happened. So I'm out cutting the trim. I had to take care of it for her because she didn't want the limb hanging in her yard. But
fun living in the Northeast, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You live in Florida. What do? Replant a flower or two here and there.
Yeah, maybe one of those palm tree needles might turn brown and fall off once in a while, but that's about it.
No, the only thing is you're cutting your grass year round. And when I move down there, I don't plan on having the acre size lot I do now.
Yeah, you don't need that. Little postage stamp lot is fine, and astroturf it if you want.
I just need enough for my puppy to go outside, take care of business, and put a grill out there.
There you go.
That's all I want.
Well, they have that different grass down there, too. You ever see the grass? Or you ever, like, walk across a median strip down there at Disney World? It's, like, it's very thick grass, but it's – I don't know what kind it is, but it's just different. It's not the typical grass you get up here.
It's not Bermuda, is it?
I have no idea what it's called.
I think it might be Bermuda grass,
right.
And they have that Zoza grass. I forget the name of it. It's real, like, nappy. It's
yes,
like
exactly. But and I think it's designed so it's slow growing, so they don't have to mow it quite so much. But I was surprised how thick it was. Like, I walked on it, and, like, it's, like, eight inches thick. And you don't think it is, but when you step on it, it's like, wow, that's strange.
Yeah, it's real thick. It's real dense.
Yes. Exactly.
And the thing of it is I know it grows a lot in certain times of the year, but I think in the summertime, not as much because that intense heat, it needs all the water it can keep, if you follow me, so it isn't growing as much. But I don't know. I'd rather cut the grass than do leaves. At least you get – the thing of it is you get a game plan down and you can just – you know what you're doing.
Right, right.
When the leaves come, it's just – it just you got to have four plans throughout the year. Then you got your shoveling plan. You know, that's next.
Yeah, that's
instead of shoveling leaves, we're shoveling snow.
Yep.
Because we got our first little dusting the other day. We got like 3/4 inch. I mean, it melted by morning, but...
Right. It was scary seeing it that early, though, I'm telling you.
I'm going to admit, I cried.
Yeah. I shed a tear myself.
Yep, I wept up. I was looking out the back door watching the dog go out on the deck, and I seen his footprints. I'm like, and it begins.
Yep.
So, I know everybody's tired of hearing us cry,
yep.
But... We're allowed to.
It's our show. We can cry if we want.
So you want to get into some news, Danny?
Yeah, just a bunch of stuff again, kind of holiday related, most of it. Holiday decorations are now up at the Hollywood Studios. You know, all the Christmas tree and the Festival of Lights there. What are they called? The Osborne.
The Osborne.
Yeah. All that stuff's up. So, I mean, as we well know, Disney's ahead of the curve, and they're in full holiday mode now, which is good for folks that want to get down there for the holidays. And like I always say, and you hate when I do this, but I'm going to do it anyways, they'll be putting the menus out for Flower and Garden here pretty soon. It's, you know, holidays
no,
will be
I'm
over.
No, I'm happy about that. Get Christmas out of here. I want spring, man.
Right. But, you know, as soon as we get over past July, January 1st, that'll be next. That'll be, they'll be pumping up the spring vacations and all that good stuff. So we look at it this way. We got about 5 more weeks to go, and then we'll be in spring mode here. At least in our minds, not where we live.
No, not where we live, man. This is going to be, I think this is going to be a long haul, long, hard fight throughout this
one.
Yeah,
unfortunately, I think you're right. Secondly, I have here on the list the Gingerbread House at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort opened up a little ahead of schedule, and there's pictures of that, and... for those of you that haven't been down there, I haven't been, but I've seen these many, many, many times. And, Doug, you can speak to this because I'm sure you've seen them. All the gingerbread house that they have at the Grand Floridian, and I believe there's one over at the Beach Club, too, if I'm not mistaken. But this is a great, you know, these are great things to do if you don't want to go to the parks and you want to resort hop and see the gingerbread houses and all the decorations, particularly on the monorail loop. That's always fun to do.
Yeah, I was just talking to our friend Mike from that Amsoil, that you know, that buddy of mine.
Yep.
That I was talking to Mike the other day on the phone, and we were talking about that, and he was talking about going down and maybe just roaming around the resorts in downtown Disney. And that was just during a normal time of year. You know, this way you don't have to pay to go into the parks if you're just going to be around there just to get the little bit of the Disney spirit in you, if you follow me, to get your fix.
Yeah.
But around holiday time especially, roam all the resorts. I mean, we've done it. Just see the Christmas trees at every one of the resorts is amazing.
Right, right.
The decorations, to see how Disney decorates each resort to the architecture and the design of the resort and the backstory of the resort. You know what I mean? Like how each culture or each of the resorts would celebrate Christmas. It's really awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen pictures like I know the – Animal Kingdom Christmas tree has all the decorations of animals, so they, you know, different trees are themed to different resorts, but also tie into the holidays, so that's pretty neat. You're not just going to see generic Christmas trees at each and every resort. I mean, you may see some that are, you know, the typical standard tree, but you're right, Doug, a lot of the resorts do resort-specific trees and decorations, which are really cool.
Oh, absolutely, and it's really neat to see, like, we went in last time we were down for Christmas, one of the trees, like, I loved Riverside because that's where we stayed. It was gorgeous. The whole inside felt, it really felt different. At that time of year, it does give you that Christmas feel. You would think because it's warm and nice out because it's in the 80s, the whole nine yards. But at nighttime, when you walk into the resort and all the decorations are up and the trees trimmed and, you know, they have you want to grab hot chocolate, and you're in the Christmas spirit,
right,
for real.
Right.
But we went over to the Wilderness Lodge also. That's another one that has, when you walk in that grand foyer, just like with the Animal Kingdom with the tree there. But the cool part of the Wilderness Lodge, because of that big fireplace up off to the left, it really makes you really feel like you're going from summer to winter with the fireplace going.
Right.
The tree decorated, the air conditioner's on it, because you feel cool when you walk in.
Right.
It gives you that whole Christmas attitude when you walk in there. It gives you that vibe. Like, it is, it transports you. It really makes you feel like it's Christmas time.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think you were up in the Northeast or somewhere up in, the woods somewhere. So that's pretty good theming on Disney's part, that they can transport you like that in the middle of Central Florida and make you feel like you're, in the wilderness, as the resort name indicates.
Yeah, you feel like you're out in the Adirondacks roaming around, coming in for a hot cup of coffee or, sit by the fireplace. It's beautiful, the whole resort. That's the good thing. It does get chilly enough at nighttime to give you – you're still in the Christmas spirit.
Yeah, you usually need a sweater or a sweatshirt or something definitely at night, correct?
Yeah, most of the time we bring hoodies with us. Now, there's certain nights where it's still warm, but for the most part, it's in the 60s. 50s, 60s, which is
right.
That's good roaming around weather. Have you ever been to the parks and it's been like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We used to go in February all the time, and there were a couple of February vacations we went when the kids are smaller that it was there was frost in the morning. I mean, it was cold, so much so that we had to actually purchase sweatshirts in Animal Kingdom one morning. I mean, the kids were freezing, so yes, I have.
Yeah, because we did that we've been down there a few times, too. Like, the last time when Mom's 75th birthday, we actually had frost. Oh, I'm looking for a scraper to scrape the window off.
Right.
In the morning to leave. I mean, it warmed up right away enough where it was gone, but I'm like, I need a scraper here. What's going on?
Yeah.
I'm in Florida. I was having like a deja vu, like I was back home again.
Yeah, that is weird. And then you walk around all the pools that, of course, are heated, and you got the steam rising off them because of the temperature differential. But, yeah, that's kind of weird. Us northerners that go down there, you just assume it's going to be hot to, warm to hot, I guess, and that's not always the case. I mean, I a few years back when it wasn't when the storms went through, but they had a lot of damage to the foliage down there. I remember particularly at the Polynesian, when you get off the monorail, all the palm trees and ferns and all that beautiful vegetation that was there was all brown and, because they had several nights or day, I guess you'd say nights, that were sub-zero degree, and it really took a toll on the foliage all across property. But that was just one place in particular that I recalled that they had sustained that much damage. But it does happen.
Yeah, when we were down there, they actually, certain areas, they had they put covers on the stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You
had the landscapers covered up so it would be warm enough so it wouldn't get ruined.
Yeah, all the ornamental flowers and stuff like that, if they don't cover them, you're right, they'll just kill them. And, that's thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars, all them, a couple of mornings, like when we were going into the parks, the flower beds are all covered and stuff like that. But you're right, usually by 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, once the sun gets up, it doesn't necessarily get warm, but it's warm enough where the plants aren't going to get damaged like that.
Yeah, well, most people wouldn't believe you. Like me and you, we're up at the crack of dawn. You're ready to roam, get the day started.
Right.
You have other families roll out of bed at 9:30, 10 o'clock. They're like, what are you you're crazy.
Right, right.
You're crazy, man. How many drinks you have this morning already? Not, I'm telling you, there was frost. No, there wasn't. There's always that goofy brother-in-law don't believe you.
Yeah, I do get a kick out of listening to the weather forecast down there, like all the local affiliates and stuff, because, you would think there's a tornado coming up the coast, or a hurricane rather, the way they're talking, and big deal, you're going to get some frost. I deal with that, 5 months a year, 4 months a year, or whatever up here.
Yeah, well, they're telling you, Dan, you don't have a $2 billion orange
grove
in your backyard.
Exactly, exactly.
That you're worried about getting ruined.
My acorns are fine.
Yes, that's all you have to worry about. But I'll tell you what, the gingerbread house this year at the Floridian really looks beautiful, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And like I said, I haven't been down there to actually ever see it in person. But my understanding is you can actually – I don't think they give you pieces of the gingerbread house, but they do have gingerbread available and I think cider and stuff that you can purchase. Is that correct?
Yeah, they actually have replicas. You can buy the one that they made, too.
Oh, cool, cool.
Like small houses and stuff like that. Well, they did when I seen it, so.
Did you ever get any of that or –
Yeah, we got the taste of the gingerbread. I never bought the house or anything.
Right.
But we see the boardwalk area, too. That's really nice, too, with the roller coaster up, Santa on the roller coaster and all that.
Yep.
They have like a whole – it's like a miniature boardwalk roller coaster and all set up inside there, which is really cool. And
oh, right in the lobby of the Boardwalk Hotel you're talking about. Okay, I thought you meant
Yeah, and then the Yacht and Beach Club, we've seen that many times decorated. That's absolutely gorgeous. I mean, you got to get down there. I mean, just to see the resorts is that's fun in itself. You could spend a day or two just roaming around, just looking at Christmas decorations.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's something to look forward to, and I definitely want to do that. And I've never heard anybody, you know, say anything negative about any of the resorts or the decorations. I mean, I guess over the years, maybe some feedback that I heard that Disney kind of cut back on the how much they decked out the parks, I guess. And again, I've never been there, so I don't know this firsthand. But, you know, we all know that Main Street USA is decked out to the nines. But I think in prior years, they said that they used to also decorate some of the other areas of Magic Kingdom. But they, you know, with budgets tightening up and all that stuff, they've kind of gotten away from that. Have you experienced any of that, decorations elsewhere other than Main Street?
Yeah, well, we used to go back in Liberty Square and all that area used to have stuff hanging and was decorated because it's been a few years since we've been down at Christmas.
Right.
But it used to all be decorated. Well, and I don't want to hear about the budget now. The budget is plenty fine with everything they're doing down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they got plenty of money.
They should decorate the back because the hub being all messed up right now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, trying to draw people. And I'm sure the new Fantasyland and all is, you know, decorated. So it'll be anxious to see the pictures this year to see how they do the new Fantasyland with the mine train and all to see if there's any decorations in that area. But, yeah, they had stuff all over Frontierland and the whole back area when we were there. Our favorite was, again, and you always go back to it, but Epcot's absolutely gorgeous.
Right, and they got rid of some stuff there. Wasn't there like a Festival of Lights or something? I forget what it was called, but they got rid of that a few years back.
Yeah, it was there every time when we walked through. It was like an area. It was like you'd walk through it as you went from Tomorrowland or from Future World over to
World Showcase.
Right. Listen to me. We're recording way early this morning, guys. Yeah. I still haven't woke. I ain't had my second can of Pepsi yet.
Wow.
No, but headed into World Showcase, you'd have the lights. Or it'd be like you're walking through like a
tunnel or something.
A tunnel of lights,
yeah,
kind of.
Yeah.
They have like a, I don't know, like little props. It was like metal props with the lights hanging on it to go across from each side.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but it was gorgeous. I mean, no, and then the trees would line it. And then, but the World Showcase is my favorite. Just everything about World Showcase during the holidays, it's so festive. You know, with that chill in the air, you're wearing your hoodie.
Yep.
Because I actually like that. We were there in February wearing the hoodies. The girls got cold, but the guys, we were like, my godson and my brother-in-law went on Spaceship Earth like Mission Space like four straight times.
Wow.
And they'd have gone on more if I would have made them get out of there.
Yeah, that's a bit much. I won't go on once, let alone four. But four rides of any one attraction is a bit much.
Yeah, we did. I did it once. And then I was roaming through. I went over and roamed through Mouse Gears and stuff like that. They went on three more times in a row because nobody was there.
Right.
And then we went over and did Test Track two or three times.
Right.
Which that was cool. I did that more. But we finally had to get back to the girls.
Yeah, but that's nice to tour like that. I mean, it's very rare that you get the park, you know, pretty much to yourself. If you're getting on that quickly and able to ride that many times, that's awesome.
We did Soarin' twice, we did Test Track twice, and we did Mission Space. They did that four times, and we did other stuff in a matter of a couple hours.
Wow.
It was like you would get off Test Track and walk right back around and go right back on.
And this was in February, you said you went?
It was in February because we got – the one night it was like – it was rainy.
Yeah.
And then it was freezing out. And then it cleared up, but there was a shower like here or there. So it was in the, like, I'd say it was in the high 30s, low 40s.
Wow.
It was chilly out at night, but we didn't care, you know. We were running around like crazy kids.
Hey, make the best.
I was smart.
Make the best of it.
I don't play games. Like, my wife, she gets cold when it's below 70 in here, and she'll still ask, is it cold out, when it's like 62?
Right, right.
Like, it's, well, the heat's on 70 in here, and you're cold. It's our joke. But I even made sure we packed cuddle duds. She didn't think we'd need them, but thank God we did. I had insulated, she had cuddle duds, because who wants to be freezing?
Right, right.
But that was cool. It was a different kind of touring that year. I mean, I've been down there other times, but that week was the coldest week we had. It was like four straight days. The high during the day was like 52.
Wow.
It was cold.
Yeah, but I mean, like you said, if you're out, you know, especially during the day, and you're active and you're moving around the parks, I mean, that's almost perfect weather, because normally you'd be dripping in sweat, and I would imagine you're kind of just, you know, you're very comfortable, you know, even if you have a hoodie on or whatever.
Yeah, because you were, instead of running to the cold to get air, you were running to the heat,
right,
to get in the ride to get on and get some heat.
Right, right.
But it was good. We at nighttime, like I said, it was great. We had a ball, and we just roamed around and had a great time. We had the whole park to ourselves. I mean, you get on Test Track, there might be 10 people in front of you in line, 15. It was crazy.
Wow, you never see crowds like that.
Well, I told you, that was the year that me and my godson did Splash Mountain like 10 straight times.
Right, right.
We'd still be on it right now if it wasn't for my brother-in-law wanting to go home, because they still had extra magic hours.
Right. Yeah, and one thing us Northerners got to be careful of, because this happened to me, you know. I one time I was down there, and, you know, they were saying, ah, it's going to be a little cold after the sun goes down, you know, bring an extra clothes. And I was like, nah, I'm in Florida, I'm all right. And, you know, and I had my typical, just my short sleeve shirt and, you know, khaki shorts, if you will. And, man, I got by Mexico, and that wind coming off the World Showcase Lagoon cut right through you. I mean, it was cold, but I toughed it out, and I made it. But, you know, when they say it's going to be cold after the sun goes down, heed those warnings, because they know what they're talking about down there.
Oh, it's a drastic change, because the sun does bake you in Florida, but once it's gone and the wind's off, you're going to get cold.
Right, and that's just it. You know, generally speaking, nobody wants to lug around, you know, sweatshirts or hoodies or whatever, but, you know, after 7, 8 p.m. when the sun starts going down, you'll wish you had it, that's for sure. Or you're going to be spending 50, 60 bucks on a new one in the mouse gear or something.
I learned my lesson, dude. Because we were doing a lot of the December, January, February trips. We've probably done like 10 of them.
Right.
Like the first three or four times we went that time of year, every year we got burnt for one of us buying a jacket.
Right, right, right.
And I love the jackets, but it isn't like my wife won't wear, she loves Disney.
Right.
But she's not a Disney, like my sister-in-law, 80% of her clothes have Disney stuff on it.
Right, right.
You know, where my wife, she has stuff, but she don't wear it. It isn't like she likes to wear stuff like that.
Right.
She don't want a mater on her antenna. Like, I have Disney, you know, the antenna things, that, you know,
antenna,
the mouse
toppers,
ears.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have them on both of my trucks.
Right.
My mother-in-law has them on her. My wife don't want it on her car. She just don't like that stuff.
Right, right.
She's not an advertising kind of person.
Right.
So she has a couple really nice, she has a Disney jean jacket. She has a really nice Minnie and Mickey jacket. It's like a wool, beautiful jacket. We bought it down there.
Right.
She'll wear it once in a blue moon, but for the most part, she only wears it when she goes there.
Right. Which is, when you really think about that, it's kind of silly. And, you know, I do it too, or I've done it, you know. You wear your Disney hat when you're there. Well, that's probably the place you don't need to wear it. Everyone knows you're at Disney World, you know.
Yeah, she just, for some reason, she's never been in that. The good thing is I don't have to worry about buying thousands of dollars worth of souvenirs. Like, my brother, every time he leaves there, his truck, he has to take his pickup truck for all the stuff they're bringing back. Like us, I get a couple hats. Brenda will get, like, one T-shirt, or, like, she'll get nightgowns or something.
Right,
like,
right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Sleeping stuff, the sets that they have. But she don't like wearing Disney shirts all the time. It's not her thing.
We
bought four or five jackets just because it was freezing cold.
Yeah, and like you said, not that you mind doing it, because you probably wanted to get one anyways, and you can kind of halfway justify it if you actually do need it because somebody's cold. But, you know, in reality, you're absolutely right. You could have easily brought a sweatshirt or a hoodie from home and been just as good.
Yeah, I try telling people all the time, it gets colder than you think.
Yep, that's true.
Next piece of news, brother.
Yeah, this is kind of, not shocking, but kind of odd to me. The ABC Christmas Day Parade, which is this year going to be called the Disney Parks Frozen Christmas Celebration. Taping is scheduled at the Magic Kingdom and Walt Disney World the second week of December. That's shockingly late. They never wait that long to do the Christmas parade taping. I mean, if they were to get 2 weeks of real bad weather, which isn't out of the realm of possibility, they would be in trouble. And I know Disneyland already has theirs in the can. They already taped theirs, I think, a week or two ago. And if I'm not mistaken, I could have sworn that Disney World usually I know they did it in November. I'm just not sure exactly when, but it just seems it's late this year.
Yeah, you want to know why it might be? I'm not sure how late it is. It might be late by a week or so, maybe, you know what I mean, whatever. But I think probably maybe some of it has to do with the hub.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. Maybe they're trying to get something done. Yeah, that's a very good point. That's probably it. That's how they're going to show that on TV and make it not look like a crater is in the middle of the Magic Kingdom is going to be that's going to take some doing.
Yeah, they might have needed to get to a certain phase of the construction point before they could do this. It was probably would have put them back way too much to have to change something. They're probably trying to complete something first so it don't put them back a month on the hub, the hub construction.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't think they would forgo the construction for the parade. I was thinking that, too. I mean, I suppose they could have just done it out of Disneyland this year if construction was going to be an issue. But then again, I mean, Walt Disney World is – you know, the king as far as vacations and getting people to go, which, as we all know, that parade, as much as we like it, is basically just a giant commercial, which I like, by the way.
I tape it every year, Dan.
It doesn't bother me, but it is. It's very commercialized, and as you know from watching it over the years, they play up each of the parks and tell you about the resorts and all that stuff. So, you know, they probably didn't want to omit the Magic Kingdom, I would think.
I'm like a kid in a candy store when Samantha Brown's running around the park. You know?
Yeah.
One, I like her. I like her attitude. Mm-hmm. And she's showing me all different things. I'm hoping all you care about as a Disney nut to see something that you haven't seen before.
Or just sit there and say, I was there. I stood there. Yeah. I was on that bench. Whatever, you know?
But I think it probably had something to do with not delaying the construction.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, Doug. I didn't even consider that because how many times did they show that shot directly down Main Street at the castle? And, you know, maybe they're putting some of those tarps that they paint on or whatever they scrim, I think they call them or whatever. Yeah. And, you know, maybe they're trying to get something like that set up. Who knows? But
or it could be something as – not even the Christmas part. It could be something on that construction phase that they have to get something in there or something done before they put up a wall or put up something else that'll hinder the project, if you follow me. It could be on that end, too, where they're trying not to set something up that's going to be in the way of progress being done on the hub.
Right. Well, like we said, and we know the parades run on ABC, which is owned by Disney, so it's not like it's costing them anything, really. I mean, it's kind of free, but you're right. It is a tradition, and I remember back, I really bummed out that they don't do the Easter parade anymore. That's the one. I love that even more, but they got rid of that a few years back.
Yeah, I've seen the Easter parade, too. That was actually going on the first year we went down for our anniversary in 97. That's the first parade we've seen.
Right. Well, you said you're not a big parade person to begin with, but I suppose if you stumble upon it, you can't help but see it.
That's how I've watched every single parade of my life.
Right.
Even the first year we were down there, too, because they also had the electrical parade at night going on. And we seen that as we snuck from store to store around it. It was cool, but I if anybody knows me, it's just like going to the beach. If I'm not playing volleyball or throwing a frisbee or something, I'm not laying there.
Right. You're just too fidgety.
I can't sit. I can't lay around. I'm never idle, if you
follow
me.
Right. That's just your nature or whatever.
Yeah, like this is killing me. I need to get a set of headphones that'll stretch around the entire house because sitting in one place, even record. This is the longest I sit in one place probably all day.
Wow. Anyways, let's see here. Yeah, Holidays Around the World at Epcot is going to begin on November 28th. And
love it.
Yeah, more entertainment. I guess you call it. Well, they do this Holidays Around the World every holiday season. But this year they're saying that they're going to add some new acts in Mexico, Morocco, and China. In Mexico, guests will enjoy songs and traditions of Feliz Navidad. However you say that, featuring...
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad.
All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I keep singing it?
We'll be hearing that way too much soon anyways. Featuring colorful dances and mariachis.
Mariachis.
There you go. Who celebrate the holiday customs of Mexico in an interactive musical performance. A Moroccan storyteller invites guests to join her on a journey to experience the gaiety of festivals, holiday traditions, and celebrations that are like the spice of life across Morocco. Spice of life. What does that tie into? moving along. In the China Pavilion, burst into life with vibrant Chinese lion dance, bringing good fortune and happiness to all in honor of major holidays such as the Lunar New Year and Lantern Festival.
You got to see that, Dan. This is the one thing I'm shocked. We got to get you down there at Christmas because as much as you love Epcot, Christmas Around the World, I think, is even better than the holidays around the world, I think, is even better than the food and wine. It's just the festivist of it is just – it's beautiful. The festivities going on everywhere is awesome. It's so festival down there. I mean, I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure – I know I like it. I just, you know, having it down there, but I will. But, I think it's great that they got these new offerings coming in, and, you know, I'm sure they're doing the traditional stuff that they do every Christmas season. So it's all good.
Well, you didn't even get my two references there. I figured you would. You're a big Seinfeld fan, weren't you?
Yep. Oh, Festivus.
Don't you remember Festivus?
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, I did. I thought you were just stealing their vocabulary. I didn't.
No, I was wondering if you'd jump on and say Festivus.
Yeah.
Because I got my aluminum tree.
Yeah.
No, but the decorations around there is incredible. And to see the candlelight processional and all that. But it's just, I just love being there. That, again, with the moving deal, one of these days, that's the time where it'll really be awesome,
right,
to spend multiple days there at Christmas time.
Yeah, you can go down there for an afternoon for a couple hours, or like you said, take in the candlelight processional at night, go out to dinner maybe, and head home. That'd be awesome, you know?
Just roaming around there. I mean, you got to see the decorations and all. And again, my favorite is just seeing the Canadian Santa Claus with his flannel shirt on.
Right.
He's just cool, and the kids love it. Like, 'cause what they do is they tell stories.
Right.
They're storytellers and talk about how Christmas was in their country, and it's really awesome. It's great for the kids.
Yeah, I mean, you can again learn a little something and interact with cast members and stuff. So that'd be awesome.
And here in Feliz Navidad, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from a new mariachi band. Come on, Dan, it don't get much better than that. Yeah. Frozen Margarita.
As long as I'm in Disney World, I'll listen to anything.
You got to get a green frozen margarita, whatever flavor, watermelon margarita if they had it. You know, whatever's green,
a
little frost on the top.
Yeah,
green apple margarita, perfect.
There you go.
Walking around World Showcase.
Can't wait.
What's next?
Let's see here. Santa's Chalet opens at Downtown Disney with a new wait system. I don't know what that wait system is, but I think that's
you walk around all the blocks,
yeah,
the walls, the barricades, and by the time you get to them, you waited long enough.
Exactly. It's located this Santa's Chalet is between World Showcase and Basin. Guests can meet Santa 5 p.m. to 9:30. That's going to be from November 14th to the 20th, and 12 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. from the 21st to December 24th. And then from the 25th to the 29th, guests can meet Santa Goofy from 3 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Now, here's the thing. Let's see what this says.
My brother's going to be Santa?
Yeah. I didn't say that.
I did. My brother's going to be Santa.
Okay.
Okay.
If the queue is longer than 30 minutes, cast members will be handing out pagers, or a guest can opt to receive a text message. When Santa becomes available, the guest will be contacted to return to the chalet for an approximate 20-minute wait. That's kind of interesting.
That's cool. So you're not tied up with a fidgety kid.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really get the pagers. I guess, yeah, text message would make more sense for people with cell phones. But no, yeah, you're right. When you have small kids and, you know, you're still going to have to potentially wait for 20 minutes, but at least you're not waiting an hour and 20 minutes, right?
Absolutely. And then some people, then you got to think, like, we have an everything plan and your plan, you don't really get charged anymore when you go down there. But some people with their phones don't carry the same kind of bandwidth or, capability to have extra text. Like, I have unlimited text. I'm sure you do.
Right.
But some people don't do that. Like, my brother Don, he might send 10 texts a month.
Right. So, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, again, where I work, and you're right, if there's 500 people there, you know, representatively, there are a few, you know, hangers on, I call them, you know, that still have a flip phone or something like that. But as every day goes by, that's being less and less. I mean, 2-3 years down the road, everyone will have the proper technology to get a text. It's not going to be an issue.
Absolutely. But like you just said, you still have the people. Like, my brother don't want to.
Right.
The only reason he does is because my godson makes him sometimes.
Right.
He hates it. It's like he receives a text. It's like you got to listen to him bellow for 20 minutes about how horrible a text is. Just call me.
Right.
And then he don't even want to be on the phone. And then you have the people that have their cell phones. It's in their purse or in their car that they never turn them on.
Yeah.
They're only for emergencies. So you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, so you still have the old school that don't want to be bothered with it, or you don't want to get like my sister-in-law, if she's out of North Carolina with her plan, it roams more.
Right. No, I understood. I'm just saying it would become less and less of an issue because as people get older and, you know, they're no longer with us or whatever, you know, everyone's growing up with the technology now. I mean, I had a guy at work. I'm pretty sure I told you that. I had a boss at work years ago, and he was the same way. He used to slam his fist on the desk. I will never have a cell phone. I don't want to be bothered. When I'm home, I'm home. Da-da-da-da. He ranted for years. And then, long story short, somebody got let go above him, and he inherited a work or a company phone, if you will. He was the biggest techno geek once he got that, and we used to give him so much crap because, you know, we couldn't get him off the thing once he got on. Oh, I didn't know what I was missing all these years, you know, and it's just – it's funny, you know, when somebody's ignorant to something, you can't really explain to them because they have never experienced it. But most people, once they experience it, understand, oh, this could be a good thing, you know.
Well, a lot of it's just scared. They're scared of the technology.
Right. No.
You know, they don't understand it, so they don't want to do it. Like, my brother is the biggest – he taught me almost everything I know about building, him and my brother, him and my uncle. But he can't set a TV up.
Right.
And it makes him mad because HDMI, USB, all that stuff drives him insane because he don't know it.
Right.
So instead of him trying to learn it, he just gets angry at it.
Sounds like me.
Yeah, exactly. But he just gets angry at it. I mean,
right.
And it's fun. It's one of my I get to get him back when I have to go over his house to set up his television or his laptop.
You look smart. It's like, oh, I can figure this out.
Well, no, it's just for all the ribbing I got over the years where he breaks my stones when I ask him a question. And 90% of the questions I ask him at work because you want to make sure you're doing it his way.
Right.
It's not always the right way, but it's his
way. Right.
But technology, you know, some people just won't commit to it yet.
Yeah. No, it's with everything in life. People don't like change, generally speaking.
I see one little thing that I know you'll love.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you see the Frozen-inspired gingerbread over at the Contemporary Resort? I know you love that. More Frozen.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that this morning because I knew you were going to rib me about that, and I just want to say, and I'm not being defensive, Doug, I love Frozen.
I know you love Frozen. It's just our inside joke. Yeah, I know you just don't want Frozen at Maelstrom.
No, I understand. Yeah, no, it's not just you, but it's just anybody that's against them, you know, Frozen going into Maelstrom is being painted as hating Frozen, and that's not the case. I love the movie. So the fact that you said it's at the Grand Floridian?
Contemporary.
Okay. Yeah. Is that new? Well, obviously it's new this year.
Yeah.
But did they always have something there?
They put that in 10 years ago. They were clairvoyant.
Ah, they knew. They knew it was going to be that popular.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, they must have had something there. Not Frozen, but something, no? Or is it?
They had other decorations. I can't remember if there was another gingerbread house. I mean, you know, all the stuff comes together. There's so many decorations, you get overwhelmed with it. But, no, it's a Frozen-inspired gingerbread display open to Disney Contemporary Resort. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of cartoonish looking.
Okay.
You know, did you see the pictures of it?
Yeah, I did. And I always, when I say this, I cringe. It's kind of a contemporary looking, you know. It's a modern castle, if you will.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, maybe what's over at the Grand Floridian. And I'm sure they wanted to do something totally different and, you know, and they seem to have achieved it here.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's cute the way they have. What I'm saying is the characters do look like they made them the children around there and stuff like that, cartoonish looking.
Yeah, they almost kind of look like it's a Small World characters, which would make sense because the Mary Blair painting is there, or the mosaic there, which she designed all the dolls for It's a Small World, so that kind of ties together.
But, yeah, and that's another reason to go resort hopping to check this stuff out. Yeah, I admit, I mean, they are using Frozen every bit they can right now, and I think a lot of the Frozen's being – I think what they're using a lot of this to do, I think more people – I know it's monetary. I'm not even going to say it's not that.
Oh, yeah, and more power to them. That's what they should do.
Exactly, but I think a lot of it also has to do with everything that's going on. It's a nice way to deflect a lot of the construction and everything else going on while it's going on. It was the perfect storm to put up all this stuff at the studios of Frozen to allow them to get their game plan together on how they're going to rebuild.
Right, because when they put out their magazines and posters and literature on vacations over the next few years to go to Disney World, they're not going to talk about all the construction. They're going to talk about all the positive stuff. And you're right. This gives not a diversion, because I don't think it's fair to the movie Frozen to say that it's a diversion. But you're right, Doug. I think it takes people's mind and eye off the construction and focus on what they are offering, not what they're not offering, I guess.
But my point of it is there isn't a ton of permanent stuff.
Right.
All the stuff that they're doing with Frozen is overlays.
Yeah.
They're adding it, like, to the castle lighting.
Right.
They're adding it to the parades. It's all add. Like, everything, even at the studios, is there anything that's 100% permanent? Even the show? Everything that's going on is just temporary right now.
Any and all of it could go away next year or the year after, and I'm sure some of it will, but some of it might stick. And, you know, aside from the attraction they're putting in at Epcot, I mean, that's really the only permanent thing that we've heard to date that's gonna, you know, be here for years and years, I would think, right?
Exactly. We're inundated with Frozen right now down there, but as of next week, it could all be gone like a blink of an eye.
Right.
Because nothing's permanent.
Well, see, that's a great point. But I also think that would be a mistake, because I think as popular as Frozen is, and we'll be saying was at some point, and there'll be sequels, I mean, it deserves more of a presence in the park. So, you know, whether it's another attraction or a stage show or, you know, I don't know, whatever else they can come up with. I mean, I got to believe that there'll be more coming from, you know, a permanent perspective, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. 100% agree with you. But what I'm saying is, because it's going the other way a little bit, too. You have the grouches that are complaining about all the Frozen stuff there.
Right, right.
And it's working. Like, I see what they're, in my opinion, and that's what we do on this show, is I feel that a lot of this is a diversion. Now, it came perfectly with all their plans. They're using this. It's like it puts beauty on spots that are blemished right now.
Yep.
If that makes sense to you. It's the perfect thing where they can add, without committing completely to it, something to keep people happy for right now, because everybody, you could put a ball out there rolling down the street with the Frozen characters on it, right. Would entertain kids for hours.
Well,
they'd be like, "What is that about?"
Right.
So it's been the perfect storm to help them out now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, the kids aren't going to remember construction. They're going to remember if they met Anna and Elsa, or they saw this stage show, or they saw, you know, Elsa light up the castle at night, or what have you. So, absolutely, I think you're on to something there.
Yeah, but my point was, it isn't going to – just enjoy it while it's here. Like, everybody's getting frustrated. Like, they think this is how it's always going to be. No, this is like – we're in Frozen Overload right now because we can be, because the kids absolutely love it. But eventually, there's just going to be a couple things, and it'll be moved on. Like, everybody's acting like this is all permanent stuff. It's really not.
Yeah, and you know, there's a couple of trains of thought there, and a couple of discussions I heard that Disney missed the boat with Little Mermaid, because it was almost 20 years before an actual theme park attraction showed up, you know, in the parks. And that was, you know, at that time, that was the Frozen of its day, wouldn't you say? The Little Mermaid.
Absolutely, but they didn't have the technology. They did, but didn't. Like, now, with the way they have the technology with the lighting and the way they're set up, like with the castle, they could put out whatever they want with the new film and the lasers. And so they could make shows up a lot easier now, because they come to the point now where if they wanted to, in 2 weeks, they could create half the stuff that they have with Frozen, or a month, into a new cars or whatever they wanted to. They're interchangeable right now, where they didn't have that capability years ago,
right,
in my opinion.
But they could. I mean, theoretically, and I agree with that. There's a lot more options nowadays, and you're absolutely right. But, I mean,
because of the overlays. That overlay with the castle and all that technology they came with now makes it very easy to add and
subtract.
Subtract.
Right. They can put up the flavor of the day, if you will, whatever movie comes out. I mean, Big Hero 6 might be up there in, you know, 3 weeks from now. Who knows? But I guess the point I was making about Little Mermaid is, you know, they certainly could have done whatever the technology was at the day. They could have done a dock ride or something like that.
I agree with that. They should have built a ride a lot sooner.
Right.
But I'm just talking about the presence around the park. Mm-hmm. With all the stuff they're doing, a lot of it has to do with the technology they have now. It's very easy to, they just added a few things to the parade floats, and they added this. It isn't like there's like multiple buildings going up all over the parks of Frozen right now. And that's the way everybody's acting like the parks are being totally changed to Frozen. It's really not as bad as you think it is.
No, I don't think it's bad at all. Like I said, at the studios, I mean, they're
I love
even
it.
Without the construction, they were lacking, you know, things to do and things to see. So that's all good there. So I don't have any problem at all with that.
Yeah, I mean, it actually made the studios very enjoyable to us. Like we were exploring the studios again to see what the new stuff they had out of Frozen. And so
right.
It was nice to have all those new opportunities, things that even though we didn't do a ton of it, it was just nice that it was there to look at.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of new and exciting and something different. And, you know, it kind of made your day there.
Absolutely. It was like and just seeing Olaf walking in the front gate. It was something different. It was really cool to see him there. And they did it right, in my opinion. I think they're doing a wonderful job with it.
I do as well. I don't have an issue.
I know. I did. I just wanted to yell a little bit.
All right. Step off your soapbox.
I'm stepping down.
Yeah. Disney's Animal Kingdom, just a small change here to the hours. Magic Kingdom, Disney's Animal Kingdom has updated hours now. From November 23rd to November 28th, the park will be opening at 8 a.m. instead of the usual 9. So, again, as they get ready for the masses to descend on Walt Disney World, they're extending some of these park hours and stuff like that.
Get over there and hop on the safari ride first thing. Get to see the animals all reared up.
Yeah. That.
They'll probably be a little bit different, too. I bet it would be a different ride. I bet you they might move or do something different because you're not usually back there that early.
Yeah, anything that happens out of the normal time frames, I guess. You might see something that you wouldn't normally see. I would agree. Whether the
you might see the trainers back there, or the curators, or, you know what I mean, the keepers of the animals.
Yep.
You might see them doing something that you normally wouldn't see. That's what I would do. I'd be a beeline either to conservation station on the train, or I'd be taking Kilimanjaro Safari first thing just to see if I could find something, do a little private eye, be Magnum PI out there.
Yeah,
I mean, he's not as good looking as me, but
right.
We could pass as brothers, maybe.
There you go. Moving right along here. News over at Citrico's, over at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort. Available from January 8th through March 3rd, there's going to be a new Princess Breakfast and Brunch, and this is basically going to line up with the construction dates for the Cinderella's Royal Table. So basically, while that restaurant is getting refurbed, they're going to offer this Princess Breakfast over at the Citrico's at the Grand Floridian. So it'll be January 8th through March 3rd. You can start booking this on December 3rd, and if you're a Vacation Club member or annual pass holder, and then reservations will open up to all guests on December 4th. So if you're an annual pass holder, DVC member, you get the 24-hour advance booking availability there. Let's see.
It's only $50 a person then for breakfast for an adult, $32 for kids, right?
For eggs and bacon, how can you go wrong, right? $50.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit of something. This was on the Disney Parks blog, but Cinderella will be there to greet guests as they arrive, and the Disney princesses will visit each table for photos and autographs during the dining experience. Diners also can participate in an interactive magical wishing ceremony with Cinderella and one of the Disney princesses, with wishing wands and wishing swords for the little ones. And as Doug said, it's $50 a pop for adults and $32 for kids 3 to 9. So if you're looking to do that, you could.
I mean, with the pictures and everything else, it would be one of those once in a lifetime things for you and your little princess.
Right.
But it is pricey, but, you know, it is what it is. It's one of those things where if you took them to the local place around here to do something, it costs you that.
Right. If you could take them to, I don't know if you have Chuck E. Cheese down there, but, I mean, you could do something like that. And what's that going to cost you? I mean,
it's just the memories. You're paying for the memories. I mean, you were joking with the bacon and eggs, I know, but
right.
It's just you're paying for the memories.
Yeah, no, and actually I was just looking. I mean, you know, as most of the Disney offerings that they have, I mean, the breakfast menu is pretty expansive. I mean, they have all kinds of stuff.
Oh.
The traditional bacon, scrambled egg, sausage, which I mentioned, but I mean,
you have pastries, all kinds of stuff.
Whole grain and fresh fruit, steak and poached eggs, grilled ham and biscuit, market-inspired fish with angel hair pasta. You got Florida shrimp with creamy cheddar cheese. All kinds of
stuff.
The
hell of a breakfast.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, they said brunch too, so I'm assuming some of this is blending into the brunch time. But
absolutely.
But again, if your daughter happens to be at the right age where she's into the princesses, and, you know, you only have a year or two where that can happen, if you happen to go down to Disney World and, you know, the castle's not available, I mean, this would be a good option. And like you said, Doug, you're only going to get that picture, and she's only going to be that age, you know, once, obviously. So, you know, you are paying for the memory there, absolutely.
Yeah, it's priceless. It's good stuff. I mean, I understand it all. It's just, like, what now? My question is how much is it going to be at the castle when it's done again? Seems like every time they update it, it goes up $10.
Yeah, I would think it is going to be. And, you know, like we were kidding on, I think, last week's show. I mean, with all this construction and everything going on, I can only imagine, you know, 5 years from now what we'll be paying for a single day in the park. It's going to blow our mind, I bet. We're worried about $100 a day. That we're going to blow by that in no time.
I mean, the only thing positive about us then is we're not the normal folks, so the season pass, or we'll always get our money out of our tickets.
True.
It's just the person, the people I feel bad for is the people going there for one day. That's what I feel bad with a family of four or five.
Right.
If you're just roaming through the Florida area,
right,
and you want to pop in for a day. If you're going with a family of four for one day, by the time you buy tickets, food, and you're looking at $1,000.
Right.
I mean, I'm thinking high, but
yeah.
Okay, $400 for the tickets, and then probably another couple $100 for food and souvenirs and parking. You're probably $600-$700.
Easy.
For one day.
Yep.
That's my problem. I mean, and I'm not going to cry because we're the ones that wishing for all this stuff. They got to keep the train flowing. It's never going to go down.
Well, I kind of said this in the past too, but I'll say it again. They're going to replace all the Disney kiosks, or the DVC kiosk, I should say, with Disney financing kiosk. And pretty soon it's going to be, you know, finance your lifetime of Disney dreams here. And, you know, these tickets will be so expensive that we'll be taking out loans with Disney just to pay for our passes. And, you know, maybe you buy a 40-year ticket or something like that, and you just pay for it over time. I mean, if it gets that expensive. And that might sound crazy, and I'm half joking, but I'm half serious, too.
Yeah, well, I know me and you tomorrow would sign up for the 10-year ticket.
Yes, I would.
We'd both be co-signing for each other
for
the 10-year ticket.
There you go.
But, you know, I'm just saying, it is what it is. It's more hurtful to – because I have a lady going down now with – and I actually had to call her back. She's going down with her family for a softball meeting. For softball, and they have a baseball camp down there.
Right.
And the kids are in a baseball playoffs down in Florida, and they got the 13-year-old son realized their team qualified to be in it. Well, it's a last minute trip.
Right.
Well, they can only go to the parks for one day. When I'm telling her $600-$700, it's crazy.
Right. It sounds like crazy talk when you say it like that.
Yeah.
It does.
It's insane, but it's like that's the way it is. It's they're penalizing you for only going for one day.
Or they would turn it around on you and say, yeah, but we're rewarding you for staying multiple days.
Yeah, because they know you're going to spend more money at the park. But with us, it's a moot point because we're going to be there.
Right, and they know that, so they don't care. But I mean, you know, what was the old saying? The more days you play, the more days you play, the less you pay, or something like
yep,
that.
Yeah, it still is. It's the way it is now.
Yep.
So, I mean, but I can't wait to go again.
You're getting yourself worked up.
Yeah, but I hope they do something, because Cinderella's Royal Table before wasn't worth it to me.
Yeah, I that's one place I've never been. And again, I know I've said this too. My kids, when we started going, were kind of over that. You know, they were beyond the, you know, princess type stuff. And, you know, not that my daughter didn't like to see the princesses or something, but it isn't something that, you know, really wigged her out. She'd rather go on Test Track or something at that time.
Yeah, well, with us, we just wanted to see eat inside the castle. Last time, it's been a while. We've never eaten there during the buffet stop.
Right, right.
Or with that, we've always done it where it had the regular restaurant where you just ordered off the menu.
Mm-hmm.
The two times we did it, and the food was very well below par of everything else that we've ever had at the resorts, at the other restaurants. I mean, it wasn't bad food.
Right.
It was good, but it wasn't worth the $100 and some for three people with no alcohol.
Right. So basically you're just paying for the experience of eating in the castle as opposed to the fine cuisine that they might offer you.
Absolutely. Like, if you get a $100 bill and you had a few drinks, it's not as bad sometimes.
Right.
Well, and the food, you know, sometimes the atmosphere and the couple drinks makes you happy and you ain't worried about
it. Right, right.
But when you pay over $100 and the food wasn't that good, you have no alternative. You can't even say, well, it was the alcohol.
Right,
we did have a couple drinks. No, we didn't. I had soda.
I was stone cold sober, and I'm not happy.
you get my point
right,
there.
Right. No.
You know, but
I hear you.
So is that it for the news? Is that all you have this week?
Yeah,
else, buddy?
Yeah, there's a couple smaller things going on, but nothing that's worth mentioning, I think. I think that's going to do it from the news perspective.
Yeah, we're pretty much caught up this week. We had a wonderful show, our past show with Mike Rahm, and it was great to have him on. And we got a couple more guests coming up in the future. We got our good buddy Bob, who's our food correspondent. We should have him back on in a few weeks, hopefully.
Yeah, that'd be nice to get Bob back on and kind of, you know, see what's going on in his world and what kind of food he's been eating down at Disney World. So that'd be interesting.
Yeah, see if he's looking forward to anything with Christmas time, and him headed down there and talking to him about maybe a final wrap-up on Food and Wine. If there was anything else that came out about that, we'll touch base with him. And we got a couple more interviews coming up. We're going to talk some more Christmas in the future here. we'll do a Christmas show for you guys, talk about the different things in depth that we would love to do and get Dennis to finally do.
Yeah. We're going to take up a collection so I can go down, or?
Yeah, we will. I'm going to go out. I got my bell in my little bucket. I'm going to go out for you. Right. Call it Dennis's bucket.
I'll supply the Tootsie Rolls you can give out to people that donate.
And the ribbons.
And the ribbons. There you go.
Yeah, we get them every year. I feel bad for them.
No, I you know what it is now, not to get off on a tangent because I know you're trying to wrap up the show, but, you know, there's many days I walk around, I only have my debit card. I don't even have a quarter in my pocket. I literally have no money. And I always feel bad because I look at the guy and say, I don't have any money. And he thinks I'm, you know, giving him the business, if you will. But it's true. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I'm waiting for the day, Dan. You ever see at Lowe's? Because I've been thinking about getting one because a lot of my customers ask me if I accept credit cards. The reader that goes on the iPhone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It goes directly to your bank account. Yep. I wouldn't be surprised if very soon the Salvation Army and the Girl Scouts and all have these readers where you can – you ain't going to be able to get away with that.
No,
I would swipe your card.
Yeah, I wouldn't swipe it because I feel bad. And I, you know, I always give to those things when I have the opportunity. But, you know, it's funny you say that because just real quick, this was two summers ago when them readers you're talking about were just coming on the market. And I went to get an ice cream cone with my daughter one night after supper. And, you know, I go in and I go to pay for it. I hand the girl my debit card and she picks up her iPhone and swipes the card. And I'm looking at her like she's crazy because I didn't know if she was stealing my information or where that's going.
What's your PIN number, please?
Yeah, exactly. And then she says, will you sign this? And I'm like, no, I'm not signing nothing. I said, I'm not even comfortable what you just did. I said, what, you know, and she kind of explained it to me and it made sense to me. But she says, oh, yeah, and you'll get an email later with your receipt. And it was just crazy. But you are correct, Doug. They, you know, a lot of places, because of the fact that, you know, people don't carry cash money with them so much now, that if they want to do business, they got to have some means of swiping a card.
Yeah, because I've been thinking about getting one from Lowe's. They're like, I forget what they are, $99 or $89, something like that. I forget what the price is, but it would hook to your phone and link to your account.
And what do they take, a percent or something from each transaction, or?
Just like a normal credit card.
Right. But hey, if it means you're going to do more volume of business, it might be a worthwhile investment.
Absolutely, I've been thinking of it because one out of every 10 or 15 customers ask me if I accept a credit card.
Right.
Yeah, I know I don't. I'm a small time construction guy.
Right.
So, but yeah, they're eventually going to start taking that because me and my wife, the end of the year, we file the taxes and we never claim what we – because I'll say to Brent, you know how many times you've given to – every year – every I'm on the phone with her every day at lunch.
Right.
And it's like at least once or twice a week McDonald's is asking her for, you know, Ronald McDonald House or this
here.
One. Or,
yeah, you throw a buck here, $5 there, it adds up.
It's every day. Wawa, you know how they – do you have Wawas at your way?
No, but we have equivalent. I know in Food Market or whatever.
Well, Wawa, they have these stickers, and so does Lowe's. When you donate, they write your business name or your name, and they stick it above.
Yeah.
It's every month. And they're getting you multiple times. It's like literally I probably donate $200-$300 a year just in dollar donations.
Right. And you know, around where we are, and I'm sure you guys do it down there, you know, you have tag days where you have the local baseball team. You have Pop Warner football. Every weekend it seems like there's a different group out there that's, you know, whether it's the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts. I mean, it's always something. And
yep.
You know, and they're all worthy causes.
Absolutely.
Mean,
you start to feel bad when you can't, but my wife has people work with the Girl Scout cookies, and then every day at Wawa they're there, and then at the Acme they're there.
Right.
It's like, how many cookies can I eat?
Right.
Can, you know, they should give you something that, because you feel bad, and we'll get off our box because we're running long, and I know people don't want to hear this, but they should give you something. I would wear it, I promise you, because as much as I do with the Girl Scouts, they have to give you something to show that you have bought.
Well, it's funny you say that because what they used to do years ago, the Jerry Lewis Muscular Dystrophy, telethon that they still do it. But anyways, all the firemen for one weekend would, you know, collect it. Be out on the corners and with the boot, and you fill the boot with money and all that stuff. But anyways, that's what they started doing because people were getting irritated at them because if you drove across town and you went to seven different intersections, you'd have seven of them hitting you up, and you felt bad. You didn't want to not roll your window down and ignore them. So they started giving out these little stickers that said, I donated to the firemen, blah, 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 Jerry Lewis, muscular, you know, for that very reason. Because, like I said, it wouldn't cost you a buck. It'd cost you $7, $8. They got to cross town because every light, they're basically in your window looking for a donation.
Absolutely, because my wife, she buys a few boxes, and the Girl Scout cookies, they're like, I forget, $4 or $5 a box now or whatever they are, and she'll buy three at work, and then I'll buy them at the Wawa, and then I'm getting yelled at for eating them. I'm like, well, you're bringing them in the house, and those peanut butter ones are too darn good,
right,
and the mint.
Right.
Forget about it. But anyway, guys, that's it for this week. Show number 125 is great. Come to our website, check out our sponsors, you know, hit us up on Twitter. Send us some emails. We're going to do a listener question show, too, because we have some emails out there from our good friends. And we'll talk to you guys real soon. Talk to you then.
All right. See you next week.
The snow glows white on the mountain tonight. Not a footprint to be seen. A kingdom of isolation, and it looks like I'm the queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in, heaven knows I tried. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go. Turn away and slam the door. It's funny how some distance makes everything seem small. And the fears that once controlled me can't get to me at all. It's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break through. No light, no road, no rules for me.
Guys, me and Den's going to hop off our stools. It was another fun day of talking Disney with you. And don't forget our sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, and David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to find any of our fine sponsors, hop on our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And again, thanks for joining us, and talk to you real soon.
That's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. And when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream.